And my father had gotten a computer and a little Mac. Well, it wasn't little, but it was still a table thing and so on. And he said, I tried, but I couldn't. I can't follow it. I can't figure out what you have to do and everything. It's no longer in my program.
So it runs in the family, is that what you say?
No, that was what he said. He just, and he was like a real handyman.
Uh-huh.
It was like, he couldn't do it. Couldn't relate to it. One day
while Sri Chaitanya, what is that, 84?
Mm-hmm.
One day while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to the sea to bathe, he suddenly saw a sand dune named Chattakapara. Medicine?
Medicine.
You forgot? Oh, I was in a meeting, that's why I put it here. Yeah, okay, get my medicine together. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the sand dune for Govardhan Hill and ran toward it. Lord Chaitanya said, of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, as well as their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant.
Prabhupada really has an attraction for this word, jubilant.
Uh-huh. What's the word in Sanskrit? Pramoda. Mm-hmm. A pramoda. Bhakti pramoda swami. Bhakti pramoda puri swami. Jubilant. Uh-huh. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. It was spoken by the gopis when Lord Krishna and Balaram entered the forest in the autumn. The gopis spoke among themselves and glorified Krishna and Balaram for their pastimes. 87. Reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran toward the sand dune as fast as the wind. Govinda ran after him, but he could not approach him. First one devotee shouted loudly, and then a tumultuous uproar arose as all the devotees stood up and began to run after the Lord. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, Ramai, Nandai and Shankar Pandit are some of the devotees who ran after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati also went toward the beach, and Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, followed them very slowly. I didn't know that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running the speed of the wind, but he suddenly became stunned in ecstasy and lost all strength to proceed further. The flesh at each of his pores erupted like pimples, and his bodily hair standing on end appeared like a dumb of flowers. Blood and perspiration flowed incessantly from each pore of his body, and he could not speak a word but simply produce a gargling sound within his throat. The Lord's eyes filled and overflowed with unlimited tears, like the Ganges and Yamuna meeting in the sea. His entire body faded to the color of a white conch shell. Then he began to quiver like the waves in the ocean. While quivering in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down on the ground. Then Govinda approached him. Govinda sprinkled water from a karanga water pot all over the Lord's body, and then, taking his own outer garment, he began to fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's the color of the water pond?
Maybe it's a gourd.
The one that has like a spout? When Swarup Damodara and the other devotees reached the spot and saw the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they began to cry. All eight kinds of transcendental transformations were visible in the Lord's body. All the devotees were struck with wonder to see such a sight. Purport: the eight ecstatic symptoms are the state of being stunned, perspiration, standing of the bodily hairs on end, faltering of the voice, trembling, fading of the body's color, tears, and devastation. Next. The devotees loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and washed his body with cold water. After the devotees had been chanting for a long time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly stood up and shouted, Hari Bol! When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up, all the Vaishnavas loudly chanted, Hari, Hari, in great jubilation. The auspicious sound filled the air in all directions. Someone take over, I have to take my medicine.
I was just following. Lord Chaitanya went to take a bath. Lord Chaitanya's Kashimishra's house is like that same road, and it goes straight down to Swargadwara on the ocean, whereas Chatakaparvat is where Tota Gopinath is, so it's really if you went that way, it's sort of out of the way. On the other hand, if you went down to the beach and walked along the beach, I mean, there are different ways to get there, but it's certainly not
direct.
It's out of the way that they were going that way. Are you read-worthy?
What's that?
Are you read-worthy?
Okay. Astonished, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and began looking here and there, trying to see something, but he could not catch sight of it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the Vaishnavas, he returned to partial external consciousness and spoke to Swarup Damodara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Who has brought me here from Govardhan Hill? I was seeing Lord Krishna's pastimes, but now I cannot see them. Today I went from here to Govardhan Hill to find out if Krishna was tending his cows there. I saw Lord Krishna climbing Govardhan Hill and playing his flute, surrounded on all sides by grazing cows. Hearing the vibration of Krishna's flute, Srimati Radharani and all her gopi friends came there to meet him. They were all very nicely dressed. When Krishna and Srimati Radharani entered a cave together, the other gopis asked me to pick some flowers. Just then, all of you made a tumultuous sound and carried me from there to this place. Why have you brought me here, causing me unnecessary pain? I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes, but I could not see them." Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. When all the Vaishnavas saw the Lord's condition, they also wept. At that time, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati arrived. Seeing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became somewhat respectful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to complete external consciousness and immediately offered prayers to them. Then these two elderly gentlemen both embraced the Lord with loving affection.
Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, right?
Yeah. I can't remember who Paramananda Puri is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Puri Goswami and Brahmananda Bharati, "Why have the two of you come so far?" Puri Goswami replied, "Just to see your dancing." When he heard this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt somewhat ashamed. Then he went to bathe in the sea with all the Vaishnavas. After bathing in the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with all the devotees. Then they all lunched on the remnants of food offered to Lord Jagannath. Thus I have described the transcendental ecstatic emotions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma cannot describe their influence. In his book Garanga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das Goswami has very vividly described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of running toward the Chatakaparva sand dune. Samipe Niladresh Chataka Giri Rajasya Kalanad Aye Goshte Govardhana Giri Patim Loki Tumita Vajana Smit Yukta Pada Iva Davana Vajito Ganai Swagarango Hidaya Udayan Mam Madayati. Near Jagannath Puri is a great sand dune known as Chatakaparva. Seeing that hill, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, I shall go to the land of Braja to see Govardhan Hill." Then he began running madly toward it, and all the Vaishnavas ran after him. This scene awakens in my heart and maddens me. This verse is from Garanga Stava Kalpa Vriksha 8. So what about this? This scene awakens in my heart and maddens me. We were talking the other day about Kaviraj Goswami writing. So what is the technical term for this? This scene awakens in my heart.
Udaya. Mm.
Who can properly describe all the uncommon pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are all simply his play. I have briefly described them just to give an indication of his transcendental pastimes. Nevertheless, anyone who hears this will certainly attain the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet.
Well, I have a decided play, Krishna. You know, when you're reading that book, can you give me back the mask?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry about that.
And, but it's very interesting that you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu casts associates into very compromised roles. Balabhata is Shukadeva Goswami.
It's someone is Chota Haridas.
Chota Haridas is a Manjari. And the Keshwa, not the Keshwa Pandit, but what was the devotee?
Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit.
No, I'm thinking of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit is also another. Devananda Pandit is also some other eternal associate. And it's just that, that really is play. They become, Chotahari Das, banished, outcast, whether there's some particular leela behind why they're selected. Shukadeva Goswami becomes from some angles of vision, what's his name is sort of starts to have a sampradaya, that whole Pushtimarg sampradaya.
Prabhupada,
where he sort of chastises him repeatedly.
Is it really an upa sampradaya, Pushtimarg? Just there's no Madhurya Ras.
Well, there's no mention of Lord Chaitanya. He takes initiation from Gadadhar Pandit, but I don't think that's mentioned in his line. He takes credit for finding Nathji rather than Madhavan Puri. So it's really that, although Pitilanath was very, seemed quite close to Goswamis of Vrindavan, one of his sons. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami made him a custodian of, that's how they got a hold of Nathji to start with. And temples or deities in Radhakund. He was at the Panda. But anyway, back to that thing that really play. What you're trying to put these associates, I think they really have to play some unsavory roles.
Is there Radharani and Pushtimarg? I don't think so.
Yeah. No, they consider Krishna's pure. That's how Prabhupada explained it, that Krishna's pure in his childhood, and when he associates with the gopis, he becomes somewhat contaminated.
Is there some Gujaratis, though, that will not give up?
You're great. Great candidates for Krishna consciousness. UK, many people came from there. Anyway, but that's interesting. Shukadeva Goswami.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Chota Haridas, he really entered into that type of leela.
What about Krishnadas, the one who fell to the Bhattataris?
Who? I don't remember who he was. Anyway, no perspective on that?
I don't remember either, because there's so many Krishnadases. When I was reading that book you gave me, I couldn't tell which Krishnadas was which.
Well, just this idea of devotees become real playthings in other words, you really have to be willing to ask the Shiva and ask the one, thank you. Will you embrace me or crush me? Because devotees have to be willing to accept any war Krishna wants them to play. Question is, that comes up, the Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur says that the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their forms are his eternal associates. So is Chota Haridas eternally in that role?
As a Gandharva?
As a Gandharva, as pre that, or Balabhacharya, or some of these others, Keshwar Pandit, all they play. Anyway, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Well, it's like where what they were doing there at Chattopadhyay, but I mean, of course, it's not a long walk, not far away. And then that's where he found Tota Gopinath. In the Chattopadhyay Parvat, or in that area. Praying at the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring the mercy of Krishna Das, the Rai Chaitanya Chaitanya, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhagavanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita until the 14th chapter describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental ecstatic emotions and his mistaking Chataka Parvat for Govardhan Hill. Certainly a very blood pouring from his pores. That was really frightening.
You saw that on BBC?
Hmm?
You saw that on BBC? Oh no, it was BBC. CNN.
Hmm.
That picture of a woman who perspires blood.
It's frightening.
Yeah, it's ghastly.
Should we read the next chapter?
Sure.
The transcendental madness of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And following the summary of chapter 15. After seeing the Upalabhoga ceremony, did Prabhupada do these summaries or the devotees do?
Prabhupada did the chapter titles, Prabhupada did the summaries.
After seeing the Upalabhoga ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once more began to feel ecstatic emotions. When he saw the garden on the beach by the sea, he again thought he was in Vrindavan, and when he began to think of Krishna engaging in his different pastimes, transcendental emotions excited him again. On the night of the Rasa dance, the gopis, bereaved by Krishna's absence, searched for Krishna from one forest to another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted the same transcendental thoughts as those of the gopis and was filled with ecstatic emotion. Sri Damodar Goswami recited a verse from Gita Govinda just suitable to the Lord's emotions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited the ecstatic transformation known as Bhavodaya, Bhava Sindhi, and Bhava Shravalaya, and so on. The Lord experienced all the kinds of ecstatic transformations and relished them very much. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives these summaries, doesn't he?
I think so.
The ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna is very difficult to understand, even for such demigods as Lord Brahma. By enacting his pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu submerged himself in that ocean, and his heart was absorbed in that love. Thus he exhibited in various ways the exalted position of transcendental love for Krishna. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All glories to Lord Nityananda, whose body is always filled with transcendental bliss. All glories to Sri Advaita Charya, who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Vastakur. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot himself throughout the entire day and night, being urged in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. The Lord would maintain himself in three states of consciousness. Sometimes he emerged totally in ecstatic emotion. Sometimes he was in partial external consciousness, and sometimes he was in full external consciousness. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always merged in ecstatic emotion, but just as a potter's wheel turns without the potter's touching it, the Lord's bodily activities like bathing, going to the temple to see Lord Jagannath, and taking lunch went on automatically. One day while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was looking at Lord Jagannath in the temple, Lord Jagannath appeared to be personally Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized Lord Jagannath to be Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya's five senses immediately became absorbed in attraction for the five attributes of Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna's beauty attracted the eyes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna's singing and the vibration of his flute attracted the Lord's ears. The transcendental fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet attracted his nostrils. Krishna's transcendental sweetness attracted his tongue. And Krishna's bodily touch attracted the Lord's sensation of touch. Thus each of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's five senses was attracted by one of the five attributes of Lord Krishna. Just as in a tug of war, the single mind of Lord Chaitanya was attracted in five directions by the five transcendental attributes of Lord Krishna. Thus, the Lord became unconscious. Just then, the Upala Bhoga ceremony of Lord Jagannath concluded, and the devotees who had accompanied the Lord Chaitanya to the temple took him back home. That night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attended by Sarva Gandhar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. Keeping his hands around their necks, the Lord began to lament. When Srimati Radharani was very much agitated due to feeling great separation from Krishna, she spoke of verse to Vishakha, explaining the cause of her great anxiety and restlessness. Reciting that verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his burning emotions. Then with great lamentation, he explained the verse to Sarva Damodar and Ramananda Roy. Sundaramita Sindhu Bangalama Chitta Jisamplavaka Karnanadi Samarna Ramya Vachanako Tindu Shitangaka Sorabhi Amrita Samplavavrita Jagat Piyu Sharam Yadhara Shri Gopindra Sudasakar Shati Balat Panchandriyani Adime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, though the hearts of the gopis are like high standing hills, they are inundated by the waves of the nectarian ocean of Krishna's beauty. His sweet voice enters their ears and gives them transcendental bliss. The touch of his body is cooler than millions and millions of moons together, and the nectar of his bodily fragrance overfloods the entire world. O my dear friend, that Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, and whose lips are exactly like nectar, is attracting to my five senses by force. This verse is found in Govinda Lilamrita by Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj. Okay, I'm going to read the Bengali explanation as well.
Bengali explanation? Yeah. Oh, you mean Krishna Rupa Sadasparsha? Is that what you thought? Krishna Rupa Shabda Sparsha Sarabhya Adhara Rasa Yara Madhurya Kahana Navyaya Dekhi Lobhi Pancha Jana Eka Asha Varamana Chali Pancha Pancha Nikidaya. Lord Sri Krishna's beauty, the sound of his words and the vibration of his flute, his touch, his fragrance, the taste of his lips are full of an indescribable sweetness. When all these features attract my five senses, at once my senses all ride together on the single horse of my mind, but want to go in five different directions. Nice analogy. Saki he shuna mora dukera karana mora Panchendriya Gana Mahalampata Dasi Guna Gana Sa Sabe Kahe Hara Paradana. O my dear friend, please hear the cause of my misery. My five senses are actually extravagant rogues. They know very well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they still want to plunder Krishna's property. sorry. Eka Asha, Eka Kshani, Pancha Pancha Dikitani, Eka Manakon Dikiyaya, Eka Kali Savitani, Gela Godara Parani, E Dukha Sahana Nayaya. My mind is just like a single horse being ridden by the five senses of perception, headed by sight. Each of my senses wants to ride that horse, and thus they pull my mind in five directions simultaneously. In what direction will it go? If they all pull at one time, certainly the horse will lose its life. How can I tolerate this atrocity? Indriye nakarya rosa inha sabharaka handosha Krishna rupa dhira maha akarshana rupadi pancha panche tani Gela Bodhara Parani Mora Dehi Narahi Jivana. My dear friend, if you say, just try to control your senses, what shall I say? I cannot become angry at my senses. Is it their fault? Krishna's beauty, sound, touch, fragrance, and taste are by nature extremely attractive. These five features are attracting my senses, and each wants to drag my mind in a different direction. In this way, the life of my mind is in great danger, just like a horse ridden in five directions at once. Thus, I am also in danger of dying. Krishna Rupam Rita Sindhu Tahara Taranga Bindu Eka Bindu Jagat Dubaya Tri Jagate Yatanari Tara Chitta Ushagiri Taha Dubai Agi Utidaya. Consciousness of each woman within the three worlds is certainly like a high hill, but the sweetness of Krishna's beauty is like an ocean. Even a drop of water from that ocean can flood the entire world and submerge all the high hills of consciousness. Krishnera Vachan Madhuri Nararasa Namadari Tara Anyaya Katana Nayaya Jagatera Narira Kani Madhuri Guni Banditani Tana Tani Kanyara Pranayaya. The sweetness of Krishna's joking words plays indescribable havoc with the hearts of all women. His words bind a woman's ear to the qualities of their sweetness. Thus there is a tug of war and the life of the ear departs. Krishna Anga Shushitala Ki Kahi Mutara Bala Chataya Jini Kotin Du Chandama Sashaiva Narira Vaksha Taha Akarshita Daksha Akarshaya Nari Ganamana. Krishna's transcendental body is so cool that it cannot be compared even to sandalwood pulp or to millions upon millions of moons. It expertly attracts the breasts of all women, which resemble high hills. Indeed, the transcendental body of Krishna attracts the minds of all women within the three worlds. Krishnanga sora vibhara mrigamada malamahara nila patela hari ngarvadana jaga nayira nasa tara vitara patevasa nari nari kara kare akarshana. The fragrance of Krishna's body is more maddening than the aroma of musk. It surpasses the fragrance of the bluish lotus flower. It enters the nostrils of all the women of the world, and, making a nest there, thus attracts them. Krishnera adara mrita tate kapura mandas mrita sva madhurye hari narira mana anyatra chadvaya loba na paile mana shoba vraja nari kanera muladana. Krishna's lips are so sweet when combined with the canth of his gentle smile that they attract the minds of all women, forcing them to give up all other attractions. If the sweetness of Krishna's smile is unattainable, great mental difficulties and limitation result. That sweetness is the only wealth of the gopis of Vrindavan. Eta kahi gora hari dui janara kantadari kahi shuna swarupa ramaraya kahan karon kahan yana kahan gena krishna pana dunhe mora kahan se upaya. Speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught hold of the necks of Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar. Then the Lord said, my dear friends, Please listen to me. What shall I do? Where shall I go? Where can I go to get Krishna? Please, both of you, tell me how I can find him.
It's interesting that Kaviraj Goswami continues the meter. He doesn't change the meter. He's sort of like in the verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meter, and he just continues.
Continues from
in the same.
From the previous, I mean, from that quote from the, what was it called?
He does the same meter. He doesn't go back to the what's going to be in the next verse.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, now it goes back. Someone else?
Hey, Mata Gora Prabhu Prata Dine Dine. Vilapa Karin Sarup Ramananda Sane. Thus absorbed in transcendental pain, Sri Chaitanya lamented day after day in the company of Srup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. Se dui jana prabhure kore ashvasana, sarupa gaya raya kore soka patana. To enhance the ecstatic mood of the Lord, Srup Damodar Goswami would sing appropriate songs, and Ramananda Roy would recite suitable verses. In this way, they were able to pacify it. Ganamrita Vijapati Sri Gita Govinda Ihara Sloka Gita Prabhu Koraya Ananda Koraya Ananda. The Lord especially liked to hear Bilva Mangala Thakur's Krishna Ganamrita, the poetry of Vijapati and Sri Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great pleasure in his heart when his associates chanted verses and sang songs from these books. Ekadina Mahaprabhu Samudra Tire Yaite Pushpa Ujjan Tata Dekin Achambite.
Is there do we have any kind of program for having these books in ISKCON format? BBT format, Krishna Karnamrita, Javadis.
It's an interesting question. It's all about marketing. So I'm discussing with Vaisheshika, who's the main marketer for the books outside of India. In India, we have the rough and ready translations of Bhanu Swami for everything. But the...
All of, yeah, he did. He did. Krishna Karnamrita.
Yeah.
He did Gita Govinda also.
I don't know if I've seen Gita Govinda. I've seen Krishna Karnamrita.
Yeah, he's got Krishna Karnamrita with Kaviraj Goswami's explanation.
Vaisheshika is, for some reason, he prefers not the Rasa Shastras. Whereas the Sanskrit boys, you know, they're doing the Sandarbhas, and you know, some of the Sandarbhas are really technical. So on the side, they're doing things like, you know, Pujavali or Dhanakeli Kodi, and but the main seller outside of India is kind of, his idea is, why not check the list that Prabhupada blurted out to Ramaswar in 1977, things that he would do if he finished Bhagavatam.
Uh-huh. What's that list?
Begins with Padma Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Markandeya Purana, Taittiriya Upanishad, and Katha Upanishad. So he just, that's what Ramaswar says, he mentioned to Ramaswar.
But it's not documented.
I don't know, maybe it's on some tape, in some recorded conversation. But that's what Ramaswar says. And then you have what Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Purport, that he wants to do Vedanta Sutra. So Vaisheshika's angle is to deal with what Prabhupada said he would try to do. The problem with those Puranas, as well as those Upanishads, is there's no commentary by Acharyas. So that means it'll take quite some effort and a devotee of suitable stature to deal with, like, Padma Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Jayadvaita Maharaj is already tackled. He's zeroing in on Katha Upanishad.
And
no acharyas then on Katha Upanishad or Taittiriya, not even out of Gaudiya line like Ramanuj or Madhva?
Upanishads, I don't know. Especially since Jayadvaita Maharaj has got a Sanskritist and they're zeroing in on that. But Bhanu Swami says for the others, for the Puranas, there's no commentary by acharyas. And Bhanu Swami is not one to elucidate.
On Gita Govinda, Narayanaj did a Gita Govinda that was real deluxe hardbound copy, 2,000 copies. You can't get a copy of it. It's sold out. I talked to Rasavihari and asked him, I just had for my library. He says, it all went 2,000 copies. They were like expensive books. There was a market. And Krishna Karnamrita, so beautiful, the language of Krishna Karnamrita. And Gita Govinda is just, you know, it's a classic. I mean, although it has some sort of
esoteric racy parts.
Yeah, if you use that word, esoteric parts. But then Priya Bhagavatamrita also has one or two esoteric parts.
Where?
In the second part.
Oh, second part.
So that's the situation.
Sure. Vidyapati, that I don't. I've got one little book, Songs of Vidyapati, in my library.
Remember that story I told from Yogeshwar about Chandidasa's poetry?
No.
This was in the early 70s when ISKCON Paris.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Remember that one?
No.
Yogeshwar was a brand new devotee. ISKCON Paris was brand new and Prabhupada was there. And some Indian man gave Yogeshwar a copy of Chandidasa's, a book of Chandidasa's poetry. So Chandidasa, you know, they liked everything they did back then. They took it immediately to Prabhupada without trying to figure out what it is. So he gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took it home. This is not for you. So then, sometime later, Prabhupada called for Yogeshwar. Yogeshwar came and paid his obeisances, yes. And there was Prabhupada reading the book. Listen to this. Oh, my dear lover, please wrap your legs around me. Yogeshwar just took off out the door. Prabhupada had a mischievous look on his face like, I told you.
I'll cut that out.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, that's directly how he basically tells the proper was just with a mischievous look on his face. Hey, listen to this, huh? You don't believe me?
After he went out, what did Prabhupada do? Did he continue reading?
And he left the room, so he doesn't know what happened after that. He just he was like, his mind was blown. Overwhelmed by karmic memories.
Okay.
Ekadina Mahaprabhu Samudja Chede Yaite Pushpa Ujjana Tata Dekeng Achambite. One day, while going to the beach by the sea, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly saw a flower garden. Vrindavana Brahme Tahan Pashila Daya. Prema Veshe Bule Tahan Krishna Aveshya. Lord Chaitanya mistook that garden for Vrindavan and very quickly entered it. Absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna, he wandered throughout the garden searching for him. Rase Raha Laya Krishna Antardana Kaila Pache Saki Ganayache Chahi Bedaiva. After Krishna disappeared with Radharani during the Rasa dance, the gopis wandered in the forest looking for him. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered in that garden by the sea. Se bhavaveshe prabhu prati taru lata shloka pari pari chahi mule yata tata. Absorbed in the ecstatic mood of the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered here and there. He began to inquire after Krishna by quoting verses to all the trees and creepers. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted the following three verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Chuta Priyalapas Panasasana Kovidara Jamvaka Bilva Bhagulamra Kadamba Nipa Nyenye Parata Bhavakaya Manopakula Sam Samtu Krishna Padavim Rahitatmanamna. The gopis said, O Chuta tree, Priyala tree, Panasa, Asana, and Kovidara, O Jambu tree, O Arka tree, O Bell, Bakula, and Mango, O Kadamba tree, O Nipa tree, and all other trees living on the bank of the Yamuna for the welfare of others, please let us know where Krishna has gone. We have lost our minds and are almost dead. Kachit tulasiko yani govinda charana priye sahatwali kalai bibrad dristas teti priyoch yuta. O all auspicious tulsi plant, you are very dear to Govinda's lotus feet, and he is very dear to you. Have you seen Krishna walking here wearing a garland of your leaves, surrounded by a swarm of bumblebees? Malat yadarshi vakashchin malike jati yutike pritim vo janayanyata karasparshena madhava. O plants of malati flowers, malika flowers, jati and yutika flowers, have you seen Krishna passing this way, touching you with his hand to give you pleasure? Amra panasa piala jambu kovidara tirta vasi sabe kara para upakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O mango fruit, O mango tree, O jackfruit tree, O piala, jambu, and kovidara trees, you are all inhabitants of a holy place. Therefore, kindly act for the welfare of others. Krishna tomar ihan aila paila darasana Krishna udesh kohi rakoho jivana. Have you seen Krishna coming this way? Kindly tell us which way he has gone and save our lives. Uttarana paya puna kore anuman esava purusha jati Krishna saka saman. When the trees did not reply, the gopis guessed. Since all these trees belong to the male class, all of them must be friends of Krishna.
Ekene kahibe krishnera udesha amai e stri jati lata amara sakki prae. Why should the trees tell us where Krishna has gone? Let us rather inquire from the creepers. They are female and therefore like friends to us. Avasya kahide pana che krishne radarshane etanumane puche tulasi adigane. They will certainly tell us where Krishna has gone, since they have seen him personally. Guessing in this way, the gopis inquired from plants and creepers headed by Tulsi. I guess Tulsi qualifies as a plant. Early on, she was amongst the trees as well. Tulsi malati duti malagi malike tomara pinga krishna aida tomara antike. O Tulsi, O malati, O yuti malavi and malika, Krishna is very dear to you, therefore he must have come near you. Tumi shadahau omara shakira shama krishna desha kahi shavira kalakalan. You are all just like dear friends to us. Kindly tell us which way Krishna has gone and save our lives. Uttaranapana punabhavina hantari eha krishna dasi bhai nakahi amari. When they still received no reply, the gopis thought, these plants are all Krishna's maidservants, and out of fear, they will not speak to us. Agimriki ganadeki krishnanga ganapan taramukkadeki puchena nirnaya koriya. The gopis then came upon a group of she deer, smelling the aroma of Krishna's body and seeing the faces of the deer. The gopis inquired for them to ascertain if Krishna was nearby. Apena pagata priya yeha gatrais tam vandrisham sakisu nevrittim achitoba katanga sanga kucha kum kumaran jitaya kunda saraja kuda pater yeha vati khandha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, O wife of the deer, Lord Krishna has been embracing his beloved, and thus the kumkum powder on her raised breast discovered his garland of kunda flowers. The fragrance of this garland is flowing here. O my dear friend, have you seen Krishna passing this way with his dearmost companion, increasing the pleasure of the eyes of all of you? Verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Kahami girada saha Sri Krishna svabhata tomaya sukaditi aila nahika anyata. O dear doe, Sri Krishna is always very pleased to give you pleasure. Kindly inform us whether he passed this way in the company of Srimati Radharani. We think they must certainly have come this way. Radha priya sakhi amarana hiba hiranga Durahaitijanitarayaichanda. We are not outsiders. Being very dear friends of Srimati Radharani, we can perceive the bodily fragrance of Krishna from a distance. Radha Anga Sangi Kutcha Kumkuma Bhushita Krishna Kunde Malagande Vari Suvashita. Krishna has been embracing Srimati Radharani, and the kumkum powder on her breasts is mixed with the garland of kunda flowers decorating his body. The fragrance of the garland has scented the entire atmosphere. Krishna ihan charigela ihon virahini kiva utara divide na shune kahini. Lord Krishna has left this place, and therefore the deer are feeling separation. They do not hear our words. Therefore, how can they reply? Okay. Well, there you are.
Agi vriksha gana teki pushpa padabhare saka sava padiyache prithiviyapare. The gopis then came upon many trees so laden with fruits and flowers that the branches were bent down to the ground. Krishna deki e sava karina namaskara Krishna gamana puche tare kariya nirdhara. The gopis thought that because all the trees must have seen Krishna pass by them, passed by, they were offering respectful obeisances to him. But to be certain, the gopis inquired from the trees, Bahum priyangsa upadai vihito padmo, Ramahanu just tulasikali kulai matandai, Anviyamana ihatastarava pranamam, Kim vabi nanda tijan padayava lokai. Lord Chaitanya continued, O trees, kindly tell us whether Balaram's younger brother Krishna welcomed your obeisances with loving glances as he passed this way, resting one hand on the shoulder of Srimati Radharani, holding a lotus flower in the other and being followed by a swarm of bumblebees maddened by the fragrance of tulsi flowers.
Here, the gopis calling Krishna Ramana, which, generally speaking, they sort of keep a respectful distance from Lord Balaram.
Is that because he has his own and they're different from his? Is that because he has his own?
He has his own, he's senior, different rasa. But then I was thinking that there's a whole chapter in which Krishna is walking with Balaram through the forest of Vrindavan and glorifying all the trees. Devotees of Lord Balaram. So I was thinking that since you're all devotees of Lord Balaram and he's young, maybe you can tell us. In other words, they're invoking the trees' relationship to Lord Balaram in that way to Krishna.
Is that also because Balaram is the personified deity of the Sandini potency in which all the trees and all the Vrindavans manifest also as well? Priya Mukhe Bhringa Pade Taha Nivarite Lila Padma Chalaite Hayela Anichite. To stop the bumblebees from landing on the face of his beloved, he whisked them away with the lotus flower in his hand, and thus his mind was slightly diverted. Tomara praname ki karachena avadana giba nahi karena kahava chana pramana. Did he or did he not pay attention while you offered him obeisances? Kindly give evidence supporting the words. Krishnara viyoge esevaka dukita kiva utaradive ihara nahika sangya. Separation from Krishna has made these servants very unhappy. Having lost consciousness, how can they answer us? Itabali age chale yamunara kule deke tahan Krishna haya kandambiratale. Saying this, the gopis stepped onto the beach by the Yamuna River. There they saw Lord Krishna beneath a kadamba tree.
That isn't the version of Srimad Bhagavatam. The version of Srimad Bhagavatam is that they went back, they went so deep into the forest that at a certain point they just turned back, sat down, they chanted.
Sat down in the forest, not on the banks of the water, is that what you're saying?
Was at the bank. In any case, they sat down, then they did the whole Gopi Gita, and then Krishna appeared. Here it says they just stepped onto the beach, and there was Krishna under the kadamba tree.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the whole version of Srimati Radharani being abandoned by Krishna is not any writer.
That's the section where the Jamuna River piles up soft sand.
Many references to rasa dance, or many rasa dances?
Many rasa dances.
Well, speaking about the books, one question. You're asking about the potential for publishing books.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion, both of you, on the how crucial or... Of course, it's all necessary, but what is your opinion about Ujjwala and Neelamani?
Bhadra Maharaj is...
He's already translated. He's
done his rough and ready version.
Sorry, printed. I've got two versions. I've got a two-volume version, which must have some commentaries in it. Jiva Goswami and others.
Manu's got Jiva and Vishwanath.
Mm-hmm.
Is it natural that because we're doing Bhakti Samrita Sindhu at some points, Ujjwala Neelamani, the sequel, should be done? Or
are you saying that because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur?
What?
I read that he did one.
Right.
Read Ujjwala Neelamani.
They didn't want to read it.
Mm-hmm. So that was specifically one of the titles listed.
What were the others?
I can't remember. I just remember that was definitely the other list.
I didn't want to read Madhyalila Chapter 8.
That's right.
Ramananda Sambhad. Yeah, that's right. That was on the list too.
As well as what the water sports and later in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so natural for those who read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu because those topics were left out specifically for Ujjwala Neelamani.
It's not in the category of Gita Govinda.
That's what I thought also. There's no esoteric sections of verses.
It's very technical. There's nothing... I mean, in terms of the examples that it gives, because all it is just different categories of bhakti, prema, and then examples, but the examples are like examples in active devotion. Only they're exclusively what we arise. But
and there are commentaries as well, right?
Jiva and Vishnu.
But But one, you know, you have an interesting way of resolving how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur correct, in other words, explains how Jiva Goswami Saki of Hav with the gopis is not really what he wanted. I mean, it's pretty comprehensive, but it's still a...
What's pretty comprehensive?
It's the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of how...
Jiva Goswami explained Saki
Jiva Goswami's take on Radha Krishna,
but there was a reason for that.
It's there, and he gives the explanation. Extremely, it's like 20 pages long.
The explanation?
Vishwanath's explanation.
That was Vishwanath's explanation within the text of his commentaries of...
That's Nilam Ujwala. It's in
the Ujwala Nilam Ujwala.
Text 21, first chapter.
So interesting concept, something that the commentator can sort of explain.
What is it in a nutshell?
He says from a point of principle it can't be that Jiva Goswami must have written like this circumstantially. And quotes this one statement of Jiva Goswami, Kinchit Likita Swayacharya, Kinchit Likita Prithi. Some things I wrote according to my own taste, and some things I wrote to satisfy others. And quotes other charyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's an interesting concept of what happens when the acharya's explicit words are run contrary to the general understanding of others. So we went into it also. So of course when you Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, then you can say, no, this is not actually what Jiva Goswami meant.
He said that?
Yeah.
In other words, he played down Jiva Goswami's explanation.
But he explained that it was circumstantial. And what
time, place, circumstance.
What he is saying is right, but it applies to a certain part of Krishna's Leela and Goloka. There is a place where Krishna's married. And that's what Gopal Champ was about. It's about the Goloka part of Goloka Vrindavan, not the Braja part. But the rasa is not parama in that circumstance.
Not parama?
Not the supreme rasa. And you know, there are some people who have the vision that, in fact, we had a Diksha Guru, hungry preaching that Parakya Rasa is just in the material world, but not in the spiritual world. And such an important Kaviraj process is Parakya Rasa, putting it. Parakya Bhava, it's the highest spot.
Somehow I seem to remember reading somewhere that it was time, place, and circumstance to satisfy a particular mindset. Yeah. And not that Jiva Goswami himself even accepted this.
He didn't accept it
as the highest tattva.
No, he doesn't.
He does, yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't. And it's clear from other commentaries that it is.
But then that explains it, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But you have to go through the explanation.
Uh-huh. 20 pages. So he says, because it's 20 pages, I just want to make sure I remember correctly. So Jiva Goswami says there that he's saying this according to time, place, and some things he's saying according to time, place, and circumstance, or Vishwanath in the commentary to the same verse is saying that was the case.
No, he's quoting a statement of Jiva Goswami, which I don't remember where it is. But it's in one of his writings.
Vishwanath's quoting Jiva Goswami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Jiva Goswami says, some things I write to satisfy the desires of others, some things I write not to satisfy my own desire.
Actually, I remember reading in that Symphony of Commentaries also, that same quote.
I'm just recently reading something else where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was giving a different perspective on Jiva Goswami. Anyway, it's an interesting phenomenon.
This is digression, but I have to ask this question because I was reading Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu today, and isn't there the other more complete version coming out soon, or is it already out?
No, it'll be out at the earliest next year.
Next year, 2018.
Yes. Uh-huh. Needed a lot of renovation.
Really? So that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Bhana Maharaj, already gave his sort of like his usual
rough and ready.
Rough and ready, that's what you're calling it. Rough and ready.
Uh-huh. It'll have an index when it comes out, and it'll have more elucidation there.
Do you have it in a Kindle format?
No.
Because it's on.
I have it. I have Bhana Swami's version, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you remember that discussion about origin of Jiva, without getting into the discussion, with Gaura Govinda Maharaj, when he was asked, why did Prabhupada say this? He said, oh, this is just Lokika. So this is just Lokika Prachar, just to preach to the general mass of people. It's just sort of a simplified version. It came from the spiritual world. That's right. That's the answer. No, it's just natural, of course. Prabhupada was just doing that. And you know, sometimes Prabhupada said it wasn't what Prabhupada meant.
I remember when he pulled out. Do you remember when he pulled out the paper? And he went verse by verse by verse, quote by quote by quote, giving all the evidence right from Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, we didn't fall. I was there at that meeting, I remember.
Yeah. Maybe Prabhupada says those things. And, that was my being my bondage still. The GBC didn't really resolve this. The Prabhupada said two things. We just sided with one. But anyway, this concept of Lokika Prachara, sometimes you present something. And there was someone, I don't know, I thought it was Govinda Maharaj, but he denies telling me that. But someone told me that, maybe it's Mark Krishna, as I can, and that Obiyal Kapoor was with Prabhupada, and he told Prabhupada, he said, some things in your books, and sometimes when you preach, they're not Siddhanta. And Prabhupada's reply was, when you preach, you don't always say the Siddhanta. Did you hear that anywhere?
The only thing about it I've heard from others, Radhanath Swami was telling me that when he was having a meeting with Tripurari and Maharaj and Nrisimha Maharaj, just to see if there could be some reconciliation. And those two had been preaching that ISKCON was off because of the way he was handling the Jiva issue. And it showed that ISKCON was upa sampradaya. So, in the midst of all that, Tripurari Maharaj admitted that they had went to one of the Puri Maharajas, I guess the oldest Puri Maharaj,
Pramod Puri.
With this question. And he said he was there personally when the issue was brought to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that it's inconceivable and don't argue about it.
That's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says also.
Prabhupada.
So, I found the best explanation. I gave it to you that one time. You asked me for it from Bhaktivinoda. It's the best explanation.
What is that?
Well, just the way he describes it. I have it right here.
Okay.
Should I read it?
Sure.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. I would have it much faster if I had my Kindle, but unfortunately.
Well, we paused on the beach by the Yamuna River.
Well, we were on the Tatashta.
Bhaktivinoda.
For the one that I really like is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives in Brahman Vaishnava.
What is that?
So it's a phenomenal. It doesn't particularly well address. I mean, it seems very clear, but it's talking about how the living entity, the different stages that he goes through in coming into the material world. I don't know, is that here? In this thing? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's works in this.
In the Veda base, let's see.
Other books from Prabhupada, Sanigal Dawkins, Narayana's Bhaktivedanta, writings of past Acharya.
No, it's not there.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Not there, in the Veda base.
Lectures. No. Anyway, it's wonderful. Page 80. It's a long paragraph, but
I don't want to find it. Help me.
Sundari Hari Jagat Netramam Standing there with his flute to his lips, Krishna, who enchants millions upon millions of cupids, attracted the eyes and minds of all the world with his unlimited beauty. Shrumbarya dekhiya bhumi padhi murchapan hena kali swarpadi mila ashya. Go ahead.
Okay. He says, well, considering the fourth reality, the Amdaya says that the living entities are minute particles of the spiritual sun, Krishna, and they are innumerable. As the spiritual world is manifested by Krishna's chit, or spiritual potency, and as the material world is manifested by the inferior illusory energy, similarly the living entities are manifested by a portion of the spiritual energy. Krishna's spiritual form has all qualities in full, and those qualities are naturally present in the living entities in minute quantity. The independent nature of Krishna is found insignificantly in the living entities. For this reason, the living entities claim to be independent. As a result, all living entities have developed different propensities. By one propensity, the living entity searches for his own happiness. By another propensity, he searches for Krishna's happiness. Thus, living entities are divided into two groups, those searching for their own happiness and those searching for Krishna's happiness. Those who search for Krishna's happiness are called Nitya Mukta, and those who search for their own happiness are called Nitya Badha. In this regard, all inconceivable natures are under the subordination of spiritual time. The time factor of the spiritual nature is a state of eternal present, but in the inferior illusory energy there are three states of existence, past, present, and future. So whatever considerations arise in this regard, if related with the spiritual time factor, then no doubts will remain. But if seen otherwise, then doubts will remain. Why did a pure spirit soul search for his own happiness? If one puts forward such a question, then doubts arising from the material time factor will manifest. If one can give up such doubts, then he can perform devotional service. Otherwise, there will only be a series of arguments. If arguments are related to the inconceivable nature, then anarthas arise.
If arguments?
Huh?
Last sentence? Yeah.
If arguments are related to the inconceivable nature, then anarthas arise.
Well, Tripurari Maharaj had no reason to make it up because it was against his whole presentation, but he admitted, Radha Swami told me, he and Jagat Narsingha Maharaj admitted, well, actually we have to admit, we talked to Puri Maharaj who was there with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
What about the Sinanti Balayachitta verse?
What? How do we get to the Siddhanta if we're not supposed to argue?
Huh?
How are we supposed to get to the Siddhanta if we don't argue?
Well, a lot of things that we talk about that are inconceivable. Krishna's inconceivable to start with.
Yeah, but the impression I get is specifically in relationship
to this,
to the time factor. Because when you try to conceive of something which doesn't come under the realm of, you know, past, present, and future, it only comes under the realm of eternal time, which is when you speak of the origin, when you speak of the beginning, when you speak of... You can't. So I would think, as far as I understand, the argument is specifically when talking about those conclusions which are conditioned by time factor.
It's certainly a good explanation of why not. Although, of course, we talked about the spiritual world where everything's...
Yeah, but the spiritual world is never manifest. It's eternal. Mm-hmm. Spiritual world is eternally manifest. There's no argument.
But there's things that are going on in the eternal present.
Yeah, that are inconceivable. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because we hear about them and talk about them and discuss them.
Like Mother Yashoda getting the rope around Krishna, who has no beginning or end, no inside and no outside. And there's no, how does the sequence operate when there's no past, present, and future? Step one, step two, step three.
But that's just accepting. That's just accepting. You have an argument?
No. I think that Prabhupada's instruction is also very clear.
Don't argue.
My argument is that then why do we take a side?
That was Gaur Govinda Maharaj's argument also. Gaur Govinda Maharaj didn't argue the other side. He said, why are you taking sides?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a perfect point.
That's the defect. And we've got a resolution and the BTG article and everything.
Yeah, oops.
The GBC is taking this side. And that's... I'd like to see that change.
Nothing. We haven't crossed the boundaries, I don't think.
I've made podcasts of it, so I've wowed a few people.
Evidently, Gopis made some strong statements in support of
coming from. Yeah. That's fine. Have this one, that one, and then they're both there. They're both there. Prabhupada made both these statements, and they said, "All right, don't argue it."
And we have an eyewitness account about Puri Maharaj with Bhakti Sananda Sahaja Thakur, and then he had Bhakti Vinod Thakur says the same thing.
What were the exact words that was quoted from? Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj?
It's inconceivable. Don't argue about it.
Mm-hmm. That's where the problem began. We're thinking about it. Because arguments were manifested from both proponents.
Yeah. Tarko Pratishtha.
Shruti Yoruba being a Dharmasya tatvam nihitam gunayam.
Talk about today, and in my Twitter, sort of a simplified version of this. And
simplified version of what?
Of this verse. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just from Yaksha Prashna. And I was looking at some Karmi's translation, and in the last verse, Dharmasya Tattva Vita Guhayam Mahajanayana, literally he translates that the truths of Dharma are hidden in the caves, and that is the path of the great souls. Because Guha means cave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm searching in the caves. The truth. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the transcendental beauty of Krishna, he fell down on the ground unconscious. At that time, all the devotees headed by Sarvadandar Goswami joined him in the garden. Just as before, they saw all the symptoms of transcendental ecstatic love manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although externally he appeared bewildered, he was tasting transcendental bliss within. Just as before, meaning blood is coming from his pores and so on. Purvavat shalimiri karaira chaitam utiyat shaliki prabhu karina darshan. Once again, all the devotees brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to consciousness by a concerted effort. Then the Lord got up and began wandering here and there, looking all around. Kaham Deva Krishna Ikani Payanu Darshan Tanhara Sundaryam Vora Hayayani Traman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Where is my Krishna Dhan? I saw him just now, and his beauty has captivated my eyes and mind. Punakini Nadiki Murari Vadan Tanhara Darshani Lobe Ramayanayam. Why can't I again see Krishna holding his flute to his lips? My eyes are wandering in hopes of seeing him once more." Vishakira Radhaya Chi Shloka Kahila Shri Shloka Mahaprabhu Pariti Ragila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited the following verse, which was spoken by Srimati Radharani to her dear friend Vishaka. Navam Buddha Sad Bhutir Navatadin Manu Gyam Bara Shuchitra Muradi Spurach Charadama Manda Chandrana Mayurada Bhushita Shubhagatara Hara Prabha Sami Madana Mohana Sikkitanuti Netras Pinam. My dear friend, the luster of Krishna's body is more brilliant than that of a newly formed cloud, and his yellow dress is more attractive than newly arrived lightning. A peacock feather decorates his head, and on his neck hangs a lovely necklace of brilliant pearls. As he holds his charming flute to his lips, his face looks as beautiful as the full autumn moon. By such beauty, Mani Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, is increasing the desire of my eyes to see him. This verse is also found in Govinda Lilamrita. Just as a little detail, Govinda Lilamrita was far from being spoken at this point. Hadn't even been written. Kaviraj Goswami was a little boy at this time.
At which time?
At the time that Lord Chaitanya is saying this. Or at least he was just a young man. Like maybe he'd already gone to Radhakund, but Govinda Lilamrita was like decades further down the road. Same topic we were talking about before.
Yeah. When I was asking about the references that we know.
Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoting some text that's Govinda Lilamrita, which is actually eternal text? Is Kaviraj Goswami quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing Nitya Lila? It's a very wonderful phenomenon that's constantly cropping up. I mean, that these quotes, Chandidas and so on, is Vidyapati, they're all historically before, chronologically before. Or does it just really doesn't matter because for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everything is eternal present? Or he can.
It's time factor. Which came first?
Are we making an artist for ourselves?
Or could it be that some of the verses are, if not eternal, they're quite famous before they were entered a particular compilation? Pajavali, I think that's one explanation for Pajavali, isn't it?
What's the explanation for Pajavali?
I believe it's for Pajavali, but the general explanation often given is that these verses have been existing for a long time. They're famous before Rupa Goswami
compiled them into Pajavali.
Right.
Yeah, because they, most of the verses aren't Rupa Goswami, right?
Yeah, but he cites who they are.
But they are references people. Unknown. Huh? Many of them are references unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that verse I forwarded to you last year, the one I like so much about chanting like a lover, with a letter, receiving a letter.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always think one day, I don't know if there's a commentary on it.
There's none. Mukundadutt has a version that's almost finished for the PBT.
Uh-huh. He's good.
It's already done. Uh-huh. Just has to be printed. That's the final stage of production. So he's already done.
Yeah, Nectar.
Excuse me?
You're a source of nectar.
Well, that brings me to a question I'll ask tomorrow.
Oh, I'll take you should share it or not?
No. A question for my own focus. I'll bring it up tomorrow because I have to leave in 5 minutes.
Oh, you want to go back to do a telephone call, you said?
Yeah, I have to leave in 5 minutes.
So Mukundadutt is doing a commentary.
Yes. He's taken commentaries from one person who's Nityananda Vamsa, but who has its commentary is nothing objectionable in there, and another commentary by an obscure Vaishnava from ages ago.
Mm.
And then he's adding things from Prabhupada's commentaries. But he's going to call it his own commentary because no one wants to read something from Nityananda Vamsa, even though there's nothing. There's no objectionable, no controversy there.
I have experience.
What's that?
I have experience with doing that.
So that's he's done his part. It's just final stages of production. Mm. It's just for all hands on deck for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Mm. Okay, text 64. Tomorrow.
Okay.
Snigdha Varna. Krishna Varna, he is Snigdha Varna. Attractive bodily complexion. It's a beautiful man.
So, you won't come tomorrow, but you'll come the next day.
Why not tomorrow?
For lunch. Or will you come tomorrow also?
Do you have cooking tomorrow?
Madhurika.
I can come, but actually, my main cook's already here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, 1 o'clock?